we still have another minute. Maybe you should stop recording a little later, Allison.
Okay, let me keep it up.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Sabbath to you. Woodland Church is joining us from Oregon Conference, I believe. And this is your first time with us. We welcome you to our YouTube live stream worship service. This is through Creative Media Ministries, and the session will be recorded, later posted for you to revisit and to share this message with others. And if you haven't yet subscribed to our channel, don't forget to do it, because on it you will find so much blessing. Some of you have Pastor Bill Liversidge here reposting all of his series, video and audio, and all the archive regularly being posted to this YouTube channel. This will be the only YouTube channel where you can find all of his materials. So if you subscribe, you will have access to them all. Share with friends also. Feel free to post it on your Facebook or on any, your website, your YouTube stream, whichever way you become creative, feel free to do it. The message has to go out. So as we begin, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me as we open the Word of God. Gracious, loving Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for this new day of life. Thank you for the Sabbath and bringing us together to worship you, our Lord, Creator, and Savior. Father, as we open your Word, we claim the presence of the Holy Spirit to give us a deep insight into the Scripture that we're looking, that will strengthen our faith, Father, that will draw us closer to you, and that we will rejoice in the gospel of Jesus as a result. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, today, we will be studying the subject of the righteousness by faith, the faith of Abraham. Very interesting chapter is found in Romans chapter 4, which is very rich in hope and courage for the Christians. The Bible sets before us an example of righteousness by faith that was in Abraham. And it also sets before us the wonderful inheritance that is promised to those who have the faith of Abraham. The promise is not limited. The blessings of Abraham is for all, the Jews and the Gentiles, and for all classes of people, and for all, black and white and yellow. And sadly, what we see today in the country, this is a result of one fact, that the gospel of Jesus is not been proclaimed. The righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, this message is not being preached today on a wide scale. That's why we see so much chaos in this world. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 reads the following. Open your Bibles and please check with your Bible whatever is said, because it's not by my word, but by the word of God. That's all that matters, the word of God. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You could see the promise is to all classes, to the Greeks, the Jews, the Gentiles, black and white, to everybody, because we are one family, human race. There is no race. There is no different race. There's only one race, human race. We all are brothers and sisters. Now, Romans 4:17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Well, in this verse we could see that God gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they are existing. And in this verse, lies the secret of the possible success in Christian life. What this verse actually tells us? What it tells, first of all, it marks God's power. It involves the creative power. And only God can call things that are not existing as though it exists. So I'm going to ask if anybody still have their phone on and not muted. Please mute so that people will not hear the background of the movement in the room. Thank you. Now, and God cannot lie. If a man would say something like this, the man would be a liar. But if God calls the things that are not as though they are, it is the reality. Why? Because his word makes them to be. Let me give you a passage from the Psalm 33. Open your Bibles with me as well. Psalm chapter 33, and we will read verses 6 and 9. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. And verse 9 says, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Wow. And in Isaiah chapter 55, we read the following. Isaiah 55 and verse 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So the word that God speaks always accomplishes what he says. There's a power in God's word to do what it says. When God created heaven and earth, he spoke and it stood fast. Even the materials out of which those things came into existence, even the materials were created at the very moment as God spoke. There's a power in God's word, my friend. So when God reconciles to himself a human being and justifies the helpless, the ungodly, who makes the ungodly and helpless into what God declares him to be? Who and what? What God makes. But how? Well, let's see how God makes that process. Who makes them into what he declared them to be? And how? That is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Open your Bibles to the Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Here's the answer, how? So that he might sanctify her, that is church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. How he does it? By the word. So, when it comes to sanctification process, many Christians today, they are ignorant of it. They do not know anything about it. Or the other class of Christians, they're trying to sanctify themselves by their works, to be righteous, to earn the favor of God. But there's only one thing that can do this process, and that is the word of God, according to Ephesians 5:26. He sanctifies, he cleanses, he washes us by the water of the word. So the word can do it. God speaks and it is done. In it, there is a power to accomplish what it says. And blessed is he who hears the word of God. In Acts of the Apostles, page 520, there is a statement. The word of God is the truth and the channel through which God manifests his spirit and power. And in Christ Object Lessons, page 38, the pen of inspiration wrote, in every command and in every promise of the word of God, there is a power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the word of God is receiving the very life and the character of God. So, the word of God is the truth and the channel through which God manifests his spirit and power. And there is a power in the word of God to accomplish what it says. Genesis now, chapter 1, the very first word, verse in the Bible, and in it, actually, the gospel is encapsulated. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Wow. And we just read in Psalm, chapter 33, the following. How did he do it? How did that happen? In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Chapter 33, verse 6 of Psalm says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. And verse 9, for he spoke, and it was done. That's how God created heavens and the earth. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's how God created. So, in Isaiah 48, verse 13, there's a statement. Isaiah 48, 13 says, surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. So, I could draw a parallel here. The hand of the Lord spread out the heavens and established things. And when I called, it came all together. It stood together. So that's how God creates. His voice, his word, is the hand, actually. It accomplishes things. So, and this is the power that Paul is bringing to our attention in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Let's revisit this passage, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Now, I'm going to invite you to read the following verses, 18 through 22. And in hope, against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. And what lesson is there for us, my friends, in this verse? Here it is. Abraham exercised faith in God, who can bring things into existence by his words. And we can exercise faith in his word, in God's word, that God is able to create righteousness in anyone who is destitute of it. I hope you're hearing it. We can exercise faith in the word of God, that God is able to create righteousness in anyone who is lacking the righteousness, who wants that righteousness. God gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. And as we look at Abraham's faith, his trial of faith, we are not to relate this simply to the birth of Isaac and ending it there. If you do this, if anyone does that, they are missing the main point, a huge one. See, Isaac was only the one in whom his seed was to be called. And who is the seed? The answer is in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's see who the seed is. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say "and to seeds" as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. So, Christ is the seed. So when God told Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, what was actually God saying here to Abraham? What was he doing? Let me tell you what God was doing through this. He was preaching the gospel to Abraham. And you could find this again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Galatians 3, verse 8, it says, "The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you." Wow. So then when Abraham believed God and his promise, what kind of faith, in whom he was exhibiting the faith? Faith in whom? Faith in Christ as the Savior of sinners. This was the faith which was counted to him for righteousness, not just the birth of Isaac. This was the faith in Christ as the Savior of the world that was counted to him as righteousness. And this faith enabled him to put Isaac on the altar. Now look at the strength of Abraham's faith now. Romans 4, verse 19 and 20. This is a funny passage. "Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." His body was as good as dead. He was 100 years old. Sarah's womb was dead also. By all the scientists, they were declared impossible. Cannot have children anymore. Then what can you call the birth of Isaac from this kind of couple? From two as good as dead. Tell me. Well, can that produce anything? No. This was what Romans 4:17 says, bringing the life from the dead. This is the symbol of God's power to quicken to spiritual life those who are dead in trespasses and sin. The power of God. You see, you may have a hopeless situation today. Abraham hoped against hope. There was no human possibility of the fulfillment of the promise. Everything was against Abraham. Everything. His age was against him. But his faith took hold and rested upon the unchanging word of God and his power to create and to make alive. Power of the word of God, my friend. When God speaks, there's a power in his word to accomplish what it says. And therefore, this was imputed unto Abraham for righteousness. Here's the big point now. Verse 23 through 25. Therefore, it was now not for this sake only, for his sake only, was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was also delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So our faith must be the same as the faith of Abraham. And it must be in the same object. That is, by faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the same righteousness imputed to us that was imputed to Abraham. As we have seen, you see, because ultimately, Abraham's faith was, as we've seen, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, we have the same righteousness imputed to us that was imputed to Abraham, as you have faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the result will be this, that all the promises of God to Abraham are also for us, for our benefit. Let me give it to you from the Hebrew chapter 6. Hebrew chapter 6, and let's read verse 13 first. Hebrew 6 verse 13 says, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." God swore by himself. Now take a look at verse 17. "In the same way, God desired even more to show to the heirs of the promise," and you are the heir of the promise, "the unchangeableness of his promise interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us." And verse 19 and 20, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Wow. "Therefore, our hope must rest upon God's promise and oath to Abraham, because the promise to Abraham, confirmed by the oath, contains all the blessings which God can possibly give to mankind, to those who believe." Oh, please hear it. The promise to Abraham, confirmed by the oath, contains all the blessings which God can possibly give to mankind. That includes you, my friend, who belong to the human race. Let us make it personal now. You might be sitting there listening or watching, or you will be watching in the future. You might be trembling as you think of your sins, which are many. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You might be wondering whether you will be saved, whether you're going to achieve the standard of God. You might be thinking or saying that you are so weak, there is no hope for me, I am lost. As one individual told me, in desperation, "I might be lost. I have no fruits of the Spirit. I'm losing all the courage." Hear the word of God. Christ came to save the lost, the sinners. If you, a sinner, Christ came to save you. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. So if you think you have no fruit of the Spirit, you continue to come to Christ, He's able to say to you, the one who comes to me, Jesus said, I will by no means cast out. You may be weak, but God says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Bible record tells us that those who out of weakness were made strong. Hebrews 11, verse 34. What does it mean? Out of weakness, they were made strong. Let me tell you what it means. It simply means that God took their weakness and turned them into strength. And in so doing, God demonstrated His power, not mine, not yours. This is the way of working, my friend. He takes the weakness and turns it into the strength. Corinthians chapter 1, please. And verse 29, Paul refers to this fact. But God has chosen the things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen things that are not, so that he may not find the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. You know, some people begin to have the fruit of the strong, they are in a more dangerous position than we have no fruit yet. We must be humble before God, whether we have the fruit or not, and God is not rejected. Whether you're a sinner, or we're all sinners, whether you're white or black, God is rejecting no one but one family, my friend. And it is the righteousness of Jesus by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can bring healing to the situation like this that is in our country right now. Only this message, the righteousness of Jesus, the very gospel of Jesus Christ, that can bring the unity among human beings. And you will not even see any color. You will be seeing each other through the eyes of Jesus. So we must have the same simple faith of Abraham. And how did Abraham attain to righteousness? By not considering the deadness and the powerlessness of his own body. So don't be discouraged, my friends, by the impossibility of your own circumstances. Abraham did not consider the deadness and powerlessness of his own body, but by willing to give all the glory to God, strongly believing that God could bring all things out of that which is not. Therefore, we,
God gives reward
in like manner,
in relationship,
we in like manner consider not the weakness of our own body, but consider the power and the grace of our Lord, because being assured that the same word that created the universe and raised the dead, the same word can create in you a clean heart and make you alive unto God. The word of God, it never loses power. And so believing, you shall be a child of Abraham and the child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And Abraham's faith was proven by his actions. He lived according to the word of God. He acted upon the word of God. And we must do the same. And today, some of you, as you're listening to this message, may be discouraged. Your circumstances are tough. They are forbidding. Abraham continued in faith, depending on God's words. He set an example for us. This was written for us. Today your children may not be with God. They may be dead in sin. They left the church. As a spiritual beings, they are not existing. You're grieving for them. There's a good news for you, my friends. Open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. I hope this will encourage you to have the faith of Abraham and to depend, to believe and to depend upon the Word of God that has power to do what it says. In three verses, I'm going to give you the proof to it, that you can depend on it, trust it, and just as Abraham had seen the outcome, you will see the outcome. Isaiah 49, verse 25, 24 and 25. Let's read it. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? Surely, thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Not might, but I will save your children. Whose word is it? The Lord speaks. His word has power to accomplish what it says. Abraham believed God's word. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Take a look at this beautiful passage for parents who lost their loved ones, the children to the world, maybe even your siblings away, any family member or a friend that you want to claim, you could claim these promises of God. Jeremiah 21, verse 16 and 17. Thus says the Lord. Who said it? The Lord. Who spoke in the beginning and it stood fast. Thus says the Lord. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will come back from the land of the enemy. There is a hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children will return to their own border. I hope you're hearing it, my friends. There is a hope in your future. And by the way, hope is not an expectation. It's not a wish. The hope is expectation. And hope never disappoints. The word of God never disappoints. God said it, trust it. Abraham trusted God, and it came to pass. And here's one more thing. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Verses 10 and 11. One of my favorite passages in the book of Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me void. It will accomplish my desire. It will accomplish, it will succeed in the matter for which I sent it. Wow. Isn't that enough for you, my friend? It is good enough for me. The Lord said it, I believe it. Abraham believed the word of God, it was credited to him as righteousness. My friends, you can have two big benefits if you believe the word of God. Number one, you are going to see your children coming back. You will spend eternity with them if you believe the word of God. Number two, if you do believe that, God credits it to you as righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? This is the good news, my friend. Hear the word of God. Believe it. And prove that you believe the word of God. You act upon it. Live like it is already happening or happening. Live the life of expectation. May people see the light of your faith, the faith of Jesus in us, because this is the only faith that will go, that will take us to the crisis. Here's the patience of the saints and those who have the faith of Jesus. So this afternoon we will be sharing the introduction to the Revelation 16. This is the first part of the three-part series that will introduce the Armageddon and the seven plagues. We will bring out from this chapter the gospel in a way that you haven't heard it yet. So this will be in three sessions, first session this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Join us. As of now, I want to make a quick announcement. So these last 3 months were difficult for many people, emotionally, physically, health-wise, relationally, and financially as well. It was a tough time for the entire country and the entire world. And God had raised ministries and the churches in every town to strengthen His people. And in my research, I came to understand that it is small ministries that are affected the most through this crisis. And just a brief appeal here. We provide these services for free. Those who would like to contribute, they can do it. If you are blessed by this message and other messages that you may find on our YouTube channel, share with others, please. There's no charge for the gospel. But if you are touched, if you are blessed, consider to support Create Media Ministries by sending your tax-deductible donation. It will help us to take the gospel to all the world that is blind and groping in darkness. So here's the information that you may need. The address of the ministry and the name of the ministry is Creative Media Ministries, P.O. Box 837, Murrieta, which is Murrieta, California, 92564. Once again, Creative Media Ministries, or you could put CMM, P.O. Box 837, Murrieta, Murrieta, California, 92564. Or go on our website, creativemediaministries.org, and you click the button Donate, and also there is the link to our YouTube channel where you will find so much blessings. Pastor B. Liversich messages, all the archives coming and being posted. Many videos and seminars already being posted there. More is coming. Don't forget to subscribe. You will have the access to them all. We want to thank you, dear friends, for joining us, for the support. May the Spirit lead you if you consider to support this ministry. And may God be with you until we meet again. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, I want to praise you and thank you for this beautiful Sabbath. As we look at nature, we can see, Lord, behind this beauty that is even touched by sin, yet, Father, we see that beauty and the power of God that created all these things. We thank you, Father, that when you spoke, everything came into existence. And we thank you that your word still has power to accomplish what it says. Give us grace, Lord, to be hungry for your word on a daily basis. Give us grace, Father, to dig your word on a daily basis and to discover the preciousness of your character that will draw us closer to you. That nothing, absolutely nothing in this world will ever be able to separate us from you. Bless this congregation that join us, Woodland Church in Oregon Conference. Bless the pastor and every member. You know their needs, Lord. We ask your protection for them and abundant blessings. Most of all, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the congregation and your church around the world. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So, my friends, join us at 3 o'clock.